Yeah, so Archive, you are so productive at the moment. You had this soundtrack Axiom and now Restriction, your latest record. How does your inspiration come from?
I don't know. I think we just... I don't know. I suppose it's just what we do, really. It's just, you know, we don't know what else to do. It's kind of... We're always thinking of the next album once we, you know, while we're doing an album, we're already thinking ahead. So we've already started the next one. So, you know, it's just the way we work. And with Axiom and Restriction, we actually did them around the same time. We started Restriction before Axiom. And then Axiom, they were going to be part of the same thing, but then Axiom just, we just had its own mood. We just thought, no, this piece of music is different from the rest of them. So we decided to separate it. And then thought, right, should make a film to that, and then we did. And then we came back to Restriction and sort of just carried on working on that. So, yeah, we got to out in nine months or something, which is great.
So at the moment, you have already ideas or plans for the next one?
Yeah, we want to do something for next year, because we always try and make the most of time. You know, when we have some time free to get into the studio, so to just work on ideas. So we did quite a bit at the beginning of the year because we knew we had this 7-week tour coming up, and then it'll be quite a few festivals, and it's going to be busy summer. So we just make the most of time. You know, as soon as we get back from the tour, we'll have a week free, and then we'll go straight back in the studio and sort of just carry on. So we've got something for next year, for our 20-year anniversary. We want to try and get another album ready for that. Should be interesting.
In Restriction, the songs are said to stand for themselves, to stand alone, and not as a whole story. For me, the last record With Us Until We're Dead was more or less...
Sorry, just to connect your office for an interview.
It was more or less a huge concept of, for example, love.
Yes, yes.
That time. And now there are so many different topics and themes, and it's hard for me to point out what it is about.
Well, that was our plan, really, because, you know, we do quite often have a theme throughout, you know, or concept for an album quite often. And with this one, as I say, we do react to what we've done. So we sort of, once we put Axiom out, we wanted just 12 strong songs to be on an album and not have anything to do with each other and just be... more like normal bands do, I suppose, just do songs and for all of them to be, you know, on a level that we're very happy with and not not having to have a concept in any way.
Mm.
Well, I suppose the concept is not having a concept in some ways, you know. That's the way we wanted it.
Yeah, and the same thing with the sound. Mm. So it's really a big dip of genres and moods and...
Mm. Yeah, we wanted it to be...
But the crossovers are fluently, aren't they? So the crossovers between the songs,
Oh yeah, we don't do as much, because usually we always put interludes and stuff and a lot of we don't usually have any breaks, but with this one we wanted to keep it kind of, you know, not so many crossovers and stuff. But it's mainly about the songs and the vocals, you know what I mean? And that was the point we wanted to get across, have a real strong sense of the lyrics and the vocals, really. And we wanted to try and capture a bit of the... We'd just come back from quite a big tour when we started the Restriction, and we wanted to try and capture some of that live energy as well into it. So we went straight into the studio and started to feel it and stuff like that. So it's got a bit more rock and roll, rockabilly edge to it. And then, so that was our plan, the Restriction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But some critics don't like it. So they say you are not coherent enough, so you don't have this line. What's your answer to them?
We just do what we do, you know what I mean? It's like the next album will be completely different from this one. And we always just do what we feel like doing. So I think if you listen to critics, then you start getting concerned. Well, I think in general, if you start making music for other people, then it's not a good idea. You've got to make it for yourself and then hope that other people like it. You know, so. But so far, the reaction has been good, so I'm happy.
Yeah, just spoke about Feel It. Mm. So Feel It, the first song on the record, and when I listened to it first, I thought, yeah, cool, Archive goes punk, great, something different, and then old story again. So I love the old story, or I love your typical sound, but yeah, it was a surprise for me and for everybody, and everybody talks about this Feel It song.
Yeah. Well, we wanted to capture a bit of a rock and roll feel to it for that tune, and that's how we wanted to start the album. So, And that was the reason why we released three singles at once with three videos as well, so that, because if someone just heard Feel It, they'd think, oh, it's because they've done a rock and roll album. But if you hear Kid Corner and then you hear Black and Blue, you can hear the variety of style of, you know, of writing on it. So that's why we released all three at once, you know, just so people didn't get too confused, thinking we've suddenly just gone rock and roll, you know. But it's good, it's good to be able to do that, you know, just be able to do what we, exactly what we like, whether we feel like doing rock and roll. I mean, I wouldn't go and do a reggae album, but, you know, I wouldn't leave that to the masters, you know what I mean?
But could you ever change your typical sound? I mean, this again is typical Archive.
Yeah, well, I think Archive's strange because it is a sound. I mean, that's what I can think of it. I always think of Archive as a sound. You know, me and Darius have been working together so long that it's, you know, you can, there's no need to change the sound, but it's everything else around it we like kind of moving about. And, you know, so that's why I think it's good to, we still, you know, we're always challenging ourselves. We don't repeat ourselves, but we keep the sound, you know what I mean, which is what we're about, you know, so there's no point in trying to, it's like when we did Londinium, there's no point in trying to do another Londinium. It was just, that was as good as we wanted it to be, so it's like, what's the point in trying to copy it, you know? And not like a band like Coldplay are saying, where you get exactly what you expect, you know, sort of, which is what fans want. Our fans get a bit confused, but they seem quite happy. They don't, I think they like the fact that they're not sure exactly what they're going to get next time around, which is important.
I would say in Feed It, there is a kind of happy feeling, but yeah, I don't think you can ever be write a happy song or play a happy song. I mean, the leitmotif in Archive's music is always this heart and this tristesse and kind of depression and sadness.
I think it's just, I mean, we can't write happy songs. It's just not that sort of way we are. It's just, we're not really miserable people, but it's easier to write about the darker side of things and the more downside. I just find it a lot easier to write personally when I write lyrically, and it suits our music more. I think having happy songs don't really, you know, don't really work with us in general. It's, I don't know why. We're not all sat around being miserable all the time. We're actually quite a happy bunch, but it's just the way it is, you know. There's a lot of dark things going on in the world, so you know, there's a lot to write about.
And the darker, the sad feelings are even more strong. So they are the strongest feeling you can have.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very strong emotions going on with what we write about. We're just very honest as well, Archive. We just write exactly what we feel about at a time. So, and which is what it should be. Really, you're capturing a moment, you know, a particular moment in your life, and whether it's just observational or personal or anything, you know, it's just we've got good writers, myself, Darius, and Pollard, Dave, and Holly, all really good, you know, all get involved with the lyric writing. So there's a lot to take in, you know. So hence why we write a lot of music when we write.
So the three of them write the lyrics.
They write
Dave,
some,
Pollard, and Holly.
I write about 50% lyrically. And then
you also write.
Yeah, I write most, well, a lot of the lyrics.
But
yeah,
they have to sing them later.
Yeah, they're happy with that. Dave writes the majority of his own. Me and Holly work together a lot, and me and Pollard work together a lot in lyrics. But Dave likes to. He's like me. He's always writing stuff all the time. So it's just kind of. But yeah, it's good. Darius gets involved with the lyrics as well. It's just like, you know, so it's a lot to. Once we all get together, sometimes we've already written something to, you know, so it's already done. Otherwise, we can sit together and carry on writing. So it's a good process.
Could the slogan "Feel It"? Could this be something like a message of you?
See, I didn't write that, so I don't know. Well, that's Dave's lyrics, so I don't know. That's his song. I didn't get involved with that.
Yeah, but in general, so "Feel It." I mean, it's so important for you to really. Feel,
yeah,
the lyrics.
Yeah, it is that kind of thing. That's why it's just sort of shouted. It's just like, feel it. It's just the whole point. It's just a bit angry about it, if anything. It's great live as well. It's brilliant. Because Dave really gets into that. And it's just like, he had all the other, everything else written. And then we're like, well, what should we write? We need a kind of chorus idea. And it was just, I think Darius came up with the idea of just yelling, "Feel it." And he just was like, fuck it, that sounds good.
So "Feel It" is more in an aggressive or political way than in a private, romantic way?
I don't know. As I say, I don't really know. We never know I haven't got a clue what each person writes about with their own lyrics. We still guess at each other's lyrics about what they what they mean. So I don't really know. It's just one of Dave's songs that he came out with, you know, lyrically. So I couldn't tell you.
So it makes no sense to talk about lyrics
now. No, not with Dave, not with those two.
Oh, that's a pity, but we can try.
Well,
anyway,
guessing what like fans do. Really, you know, we write something, and a lot of people think it's about something. A lot of people thought "Fuck You" was a love song. You know what I mean? Which it wasn't, but brilliant. That's great. It's like, and things like that. I like the fact that I'm the same with Holly's and Dave's lyrics. It's at the time, I just think, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. You know,
mm-hmm.
But it's good.
Mm-hmm.
I have my own, you know, guessing at it. So, you know.
I would say the first part of the record, except Holly's song. What is it called? End of the Days. It's a bit in between, but yeah, in general, the first part of the record would be for me rather more maybe political in a way, or critical, and then the whole rest is, yeah, again, only about this private thing.
It's in a way, because you've got Kid Corner and Restriction itself, which is, yeah, it's not really political, but more observational, I'd say, more political. I don't really get into the political lyrics too much. Yeah, I mean, I suppose so. Yeah, they're more observational. Then you've got, you know, you do have. I'm trying to think of the album in my head. I'm so used to doing the live stuff now that I can't actually hear the album, you know, or hear our live set. Yeah, there's, you know, you've got love songs in there. It's like, you know, End of Our Days is, I think, it's beautiful. It's a really beautiful song. That was Holly. Holly wrote the lyrics on that herself. Yeah, it's got a good mixture. But it does start off very energetic and a bit angry, and then it kind of calms down a bit for a while.
And Kid Corner is about weapon stores for children.
Yeah,
sounds quite American.
It was an American thing. I was reading the newspaper when in the morning, and it was just about, you know, it was so bizarre, the whole thing in America, their obsession with guns. And it was just about kids with guns, and, you know, for parents buying their kids guns at 5 years old, you know, for Christmas and things. And the whole thing was about this one kid who was five and he shot his sister who was two. The kids had, you know, accidentally shot his sister. It's like, well, if he hadn't had a gun, he wouldn't have been able to do that. And it was just mental when I read it. And I actually quoted a lot of the of bits in the paper. That was how I started outside, because I just couldn't believe that, you know, grandmother saying, you know, oh, it was God's will for this child to die. No, it wasn't. An idiot. So I just get frustrated that the whole American thing was with guns.
Yeah, that's the line in the song. It's God's will. It's her time.
Yeah, that was a quote from the grandmother of the kid.
What does her mean? Is God
the
her?
The girl that died. The 2 year old.
It was her time to go.
It was her time to go. It was God wanted her to die. I thought, well, okay. No, that's giving the excuse. The 5 year old just shot her, and if he hadn't given her a gun, him a gun, she would still be alive. it's just that weird, you know, sort of mentality that I can't get my head around.
Yes, and they tend to justify everything with God's will.
Exactly, because why is God's will? No, it's not. I mean, I'm an atheist, but it doesn't mean it's still, like, you know, it's crazy. But again, observational, and it's kind of inspiring sometimes.
Mm. Yeah, another song, not about love, I guess, Ride in Squares. I've read it would be about gentrification.
I wrote that one, again. That was about, I was trying to get to the studio, and the normal trains do I have to get to go to the studio. It usually takes me 2 hours, but there was no trains running, so I had to get a bus. And it was just going through a really sort of poor part of London, and it was just council estates. It's just all very grey and council estates. And I just sort of imagined what it'd be like for a kid to grow up there with no chance of a decent education or sort of a, you know, no future, really, you know what I mean, apart from probably, you know, getting into crack or flipping, you know, sort of, I don't know. And I just pictured a little girl growing up in a council estate, and how she'd view the world, watching everyone else with, you know, things and, you know, seeing other people outside of this estate that have a lot more than she does. That's kind of what inspired the lyrics on that one.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was it. Very urban in general.
So you're you're just running in circles or running in squares.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing else to do. So I'm picturing riding in circles and then just riding around the block because there's nothing else to do. That was kind of what my thoughts were.
It's extremely expensive in London, isn't it? So I've heard of it on television that people have to move, 2 hours away.
It's ridiculous trying to live in London now. But then the problem is now that everyone's spreading out, so all the sort of poorer areas with where you've got all the proper urban and it's kind of, you know, run down are all now becoming popular and trendy because people have to. And then all the house prices go up, so it just kind of puts everyone else in. Mm. All the poor people are getting done over again, really. If they try and sell, if they sell up in where they live, they can't afford to live anywhere else, so it's just stuck, really. So, yeah, it's just growing. Big population's getting too large. And that's just the way it is.
The song sounds quite technical, and there are also maybe some Kraftwerk sounds in it?
Very possible. We're big Kraftwerk fans, so yeah. That's very possible. We do listen to a lot of Kraftwerk, so yeah. I mean, they're such an inspiration because of what they were able to do so early on. There's maybe possibly a bit of that in there. I like a bit of John Carpenter sort of thing as well. I quite hear a bit of that sometimes.
Mm. Okay, in the end, some sentences about your love songs. Definitely you've got a lot of love songs on your record. And mainly it's about, the end of relationships or really sad story. So it's not a happy love or not just a pure desire you sing about.
Yeah, it's usually the sadder side of relationships, you know what I mean, which everyone deals with. But it's usually, I think a lot of them are, because I think even tracks like Crushed, which is actually Pollard wrote the lyrics on that, was something to do with an old relationship he had years ago, like when he was in his teens and he just had this memory of this girl. He wanted to write it with me, and I just said, "No, you've already started a story, so you just tell your little story," and he did, and it's, you know, quite strangely romantic. Even in a kind of heavy way, and Ladders is the end of a relationship sort of tune as well. So yeah, we're not very happy in that way, are we?
Especially in Crush, there's no chance to get over.
I think it was. I think.
But he is over now.
Yeah, he is now. Yeah, he's married with a child, so he's very over it. Yeah, it's just a memory, a thought that from back in his teens that was a. Important and things in the lyrics has got, you know, leaving a flame in Notre Dame and stuff, which he did do. He actually did that. So
maybe in Greater Goodbye there could be something like a chance for a new beginning, or it's good to let go.
I'm not sure. That's Dave's again, and I'm not again really that sure what it's about. I love that tune, but he has told me once what it was kind of about, but I think it was in a just a dark phase after being very hungover and just he's like me, as I say, just write stuff. You know, he goes out, have a few drinks and write stuff down, and it's just a dark phase. But I don't really know what the lyrics are about on that one. It's quite interesting because at the end, it's something we got that bit of explosive sort of like, which is all very light and nice and la 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 all that. And it's all kind of got a little happiness to that moment, which is to say, it could mean something. It's like end of something, but it could be the beginning of something. So, I think that's why we wanted that end bit, even though we didn't understand what it was about.
Okay, maybe the last questions. Do you have any idea why British people don't love you that much? Like, for example, French or Polish or from Switzerland?
Well, I think a lot of it is we haven't released any music there. We've only just released the last three albums since we signed to. PS, but before that, when we were Warner Brothers, we didn't release anything for 10 years in the UK. Didn't tour, didn't do any of that, and just played in Europe and released stuff in Europe. So the UK hasn't really had a chance. I mean, we've got a fan base. I mean, when we did the Roundhouse last night, we'll sell it out. You know, to London, we played to 2,000 people in London, but go outside London, we played to about 300. So, it's picking up. Now we're making the effort to play there and actually get the records released, and in the UK, the US as well, and places they're now being released where they weren't now. So hopefully it's quite exciting because it could be time for the UK to finally take us on board. But they haven't really had the opportunity. We haven't given them the opportunity. So you know, hopefully now, we're doing Shepherd's Bush at the end of this tour, so I'm looking forward to that because we've been lucky enough to go to play straight in good venues that we've all gone to many times to watch other bands. So it's kind of, it's nice for us. But yeah, outside of London, it's quite kind of funny. But we still, you know, we'll get there one day. We started playing in Paris to 200 people when we first ever played, and now we play in Paris and we're doing two nights at the Zenith, you know, and it's like, that's like 13,000 people, so it's brilliant, yeah. You know, so it needs to start somewhere.
They have a good taste sometimes, yes, French people.
Indeed, sometimes they do, indeed. No, we're very lucky. We're in a good position, I think, being, you know, with Europe. And Germany seems to be growing really nicely for us, with our fans are getting better. I mean, we sold this place out tonight, where last time we hadn't sold it out at all. You know, we had about half, we doubled the amount since I last played here, so it's all very positive. Yeah, onwards and upwards.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.